guys, welcome to Not Another Anxiety Show. I'm your host, Kelly Walker, and joining me today is my lovely co-host from thebabybroad.com, Erica Latham. Hi.
Hello.
So today I wanted to chat a little bit about expressive writing and you being a writer and all. I thought that might be like somewhere up your alley.
It's not only up my alley, I own the alley. I am the mayor of the alley.
Yeah. I think it's a good time to remind people that you have great writing and they need to go to thebabybroad.com.
I mean, I think. I don't want to toot my own horn. Yeah, it's at thebabybroad.com or any of my little social media platforms, which is only Instagram and Facebook because I don't know how to use Twitter. That's it. Yeah.
You can follow me on Twitter, but I don't think I've posted since 2015, so.
But it was a good post.
But it was a good post. Went out with a bang. Mm. So there's a lot of evidence out there that expressive writing can help us heal from all sorts of stuff like grief, trauma, anxiety, and even physical ailments. So I'm going to try and not go too crazy sharing all the studies out there supporting why expressive writing is so awesome, because I don't want to feel Erica's eyes rolling at me all the way from Troy, New York.
My eyes don't roll. I'm just kind of like, okay.
Cool. I had a client the other day where I was sharing something about, I won't even say the word, but about brain science. And she's like, oh, you're nerding out. I love it. It's like the podcast.
I have opened people's eyes.
She's like, I could feel Erica responding to this right now.
You know, like the secret is that I'm just as nerdy, and I think you I'm are. Like mean to you on the podcast, but I love a study.
Get you going about doula stuff. Oh my goodness.
True. It's true.
Oh my goodness.
You know how I feel.
I know zilch. And you are like, just, you're like, well, actually, and this and that and this.
Actually.
And that is when you nerd out. You nerd out true. There too.
Yep.
And you know, I think what's more important anyway than some scientific study is what we notice when we engage in expressive writing. And it's something I've done recently. You know, it's helped me kind of process quite a few losses and grief, you know, kind of most recently my dad. And it's something I've used in the past for different type of grief, like after my first heartbreak, you know, when I was 21. I remember
your first heartbreak at 21.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
I had dated him for almost 5 years. So,
girl. Okay.
That's a rough story. Got dumped over a crappy Skype connection 3 days before I came home from my study abroad program in Kenya.
Which broad? This is me being supportive.
That's you being supportive. But journaling, no. That was the first time I used it. You know, it's like kind of was going back to the semester and feeling pretty rugged. And you know how the first heartbreak is. You pretty much think there's nothing worse in the world that can happen.
Oh my, amen.
Yeah, just feels like this is the end of the world and really nothing worse can happen. But I, you know, I kind of remember first using it then, and it felt like, you know, it allowed me to hang on to some of my sanity and finish out the semester and do what I needed to do. Is it something you've really done, or is it not something you've really engaged in, expressive writing?
I don't have emotions, so I don't have to worry about having to express them.
Now I know that's not true.
I don't journal really like I probably should. I spend, it seems like, 99% of my day writing. So I think by the time I'm done with what I'm doing, I'm spent there. But the way I write the blog and working on other projects.
Lots of forms of expressive writing. I think that's worth like pointing out too. Like, you know, if you're blogging and it all has to do with like personal experiences or poetry, or it's not, you know, it's not just journaling. It's probably what you're doing already.
By expressive writing, I mean, so I do the blog, but I always want to swear, not Brené Brown. Oh my God. Who's my favorite writer? Oh, Anne Lamott. Anne Lamott wrote a really great book about writing called Bird by Bird, which is just an incredible book in general. But her suggestion is to do something called we'll call it a crappy first draft. And yeah, that's where I get my expressive writing out. So I, anything in my head, I just like pepper the page with whatever will come out of my fingers. And then from there, I'm able to take all that crap and mold it into something else. So
like kind of refine,
I guess that
it
would be. Yeah. So it's, yeah. I think the point of any kind of expression, whether it's like physically writing with a pen or marker or whatever, or typing, or however you want to get something out of you, don't hold back. Just get it out. You know, just get anything out. So for me, I don't intentionally journal. I should really get back into that. But I do my crappy first draft, and that is everything in my head.
Yeah.
Just getting everything out. I am a huge fan of, if you need to get out in poetry, like get it out. You were going to ask me if I wrote poetry. I have in my teenage angst days.
In your angsty days? Do you think you could find one and share it with us at some point?
Absolutely.
We'd
not
all love to hear it.
Because it was probably like, my soul is black like my clothes. You know, so like the most depressing. I was such a serious kid. Like, oh man, I'm still serious.
The teen years aren't easy for... You know, I don't think the teen years are easier for any of us.
Oh my gosh, no. That was my blog today, actually. It was about teenage stuff. Poetry was huge. No one will ever read that. That's long gone. Out of your mind. Like, that's
fine.
In a vault. I have it.
This is
still
a real disappointment for me, but all right.
And drawing, like, I don't think, like, some people aren't okay with words, or it feels like very exposed, but they could doodle.
Yep.
And I think that's right up there, you know?
Yep.
What else? Yeah, we had kind of like chatted a little bit before the podcast. I used to journal all the time. I used to have a diary, and I didn't have a ton of friends in high school, which is like the saddest thing to say out loud. But people contacted me now, and you know, they're like, you're so great. But I'm like, where were you when I was 15? But in high school, I was very, I lived in my own head. And I wrote in like a spiral notebook everywhere I went. I just, my head was down and I wrote, and someone found it and read it. And I was devastated. So I burned it, which is too bad, because I kind of wish I had it to see, you know.
It is kind of, sometimes I'll go back on, I remember finding that old notebook from being heartbroken, you know, just old notes as a, you know, you kind of do a cull and clean stuff out and get rid of it, and just read a couple of the entries, and it's like, oh my God, like, wow. And it was kind of cool to see in the progression, like, you know, it was just chaos and hurt and horror in the beginning. But as a couple of the entries went on, it was cool to see myself gain some perspective, get a little bit of altitude to see that kind of growth happening. And yeah, so it's, I think you kind of nailed it. What exactly is expressive writing? You know, it's more than just writing about what you did that day. It's just this process of putting your thoughts, feelings, and experience into words. Like, it's, there's no rules. It's self-expression. You don't, it sounds like when you blog, you don't worry about grammar, punctuation, penmanship. It's,
ouch.
Or you do worry
what
about
are you
it.
Saying?
Oh, no, because you, no, just the way you were saying how you're like, you know, my first draft, I just like,
oh,
pepper.
my SFD,
Do you worry about,
say, oh,
like,
no. Well,
do you really worry
know.
About
first
grammar
of all,
and
let's
that
go
stuff?
Back to, I'm a political science major, so I have no concept of grammar or syntax, or I'm actually like, the theory of writing, I'm really terrible at it. Like, the rules of writing, no clue. But when it comes to, you know what I do a lot of? Like, I do my best writing in the shower, obviously. Like, just like my best arguments are in the shower.
Yep.
So sometimes I'll have my phone in the bathroom and I'll just be like, you know, hey, Siri. And I'll, like, dictate a note while I'm, like, washing my face.
She understands what you're saying with the Siri.
Nah, she doesn't nail it. She doesn't nail it. I'm not going to lie. Like, sometimes I go back. I'll you know what? I'll try to find a note that I, like, voice dictated, and it's all off. Like, I have to go back immediately and change everything, or else I'll forget what I said.
Yeah, it's like, this makes no sense.
Yeah.
Anytime Andy uses Siri, it could be the simplest sentence. She just, like, doesn't understand him, and it's like a fit every time he tries to use Siri for a reminder.
She's the ducking worst.
Siri. But that was just kind of the point, is like, if we're engaging in expressive writing and this whole idea of self-expression, it's, we don't have to worry too much. It's not like a formal English class. Don't feel like you have to worry about grammar or penmanship or, you know, like some of my penmanship is so poor. It's like half cursive, half print, that I'm like, I don't even know what that says.
Can you write in cursive?
Well, it's laziness. It's like, yeah, like it's like half cursive because it's easier than writing each single word itself. So it's like a cross between cursive and
I don't think I can write in cursive. Like, I don't know.
Do you know they're getting rid of that in schools? Were you taught cursive? Like, was that a part of your curriculum?
I went to public school to the fourth grade, and then I went to Catholic school for fifth and sixth grade. And in the Catholic school, they tried to get me to, I'm left-handed, and they tried to get me to become right-handed.
They did not. Even back then? Really? Even that recently?
They even tried to in 1912 when I went to, when I was in the fifth grade.
God, you look so good for your age.
It was just easier, I think, for Sister Martha to... They didn't like beat me with rulers or anything. It was just sort of like strongly encouraged. And so I don't remember. I remember having to write cursive in Catholic school. I don't remember the public school. But I
was a public school kid. You know, we learned cursive.
Huh. Cool. Yeah, but I think you're right. Whenever I need to get something just get something out of me, there's no room for grammar. There's no room for even. I'm nuts. I go in and I'm like, or if I like to write in a notebook, you know, so I'll write like big block letters of like crate, like just whatever's there. Like, I'm starving and I want pot stickers, or I hate this person, and or why can't they do this? And I deserve more. Like, it's like a child. Like, it's almost like a temper tantrum. And then once that's out of me, then it's like, oh, let's pick some of these little threads.
Let's make some sense of this.
Let's just. But many writers say that, like, you need to just get that child out of you. Just like, and I'm tired, and I'm this and this and this, and they looked at me weird, and, you know, just get it out. Because leaving it in you is kind of like measurably toxic.
Yep.
Leaving these feel, and we talk about like getting breathing and all the stretching and all the stuff we talk about. Get that stuff out of someplace in you. It's not hippy dippy and it's not frou frou. It really can build up and lead to some toxicity. So
yeah, it's like, it can be really cathartic. That's the that's part of the point here, is it can be really cathartic. And something I read again, came across in some of the studies, is that while there's no rules with expressive writing, it tends to be more helpful if it's more than just venting, like reiterating. Apparently.
Oh, delete everything I just said.
No, it's a part of it. Venting, like, this is a part of it, but there's like a second part that can be particularly helpful. So if we can kind of go into it with the intention to better understand and learn from our emotions and experiences, like if there's kind of that intent behind it versus just, again, reiterating every day, like, oh God, I hate my coworker. They're so horrible and they're driving me crazy.
Oh, yes. I'm with that. That makes sense to me, even though I didn't read that study. It makes sense that get the crap out of you.
Exactly.
And then from there, where do you need to go?
Yep.
Like, I think venting is so important, but then at the end of, even if you're just talking to somebody, now what? Like, what are you going to do about it? You know, so if you're mad at your coworker or something, like, okay, cool. How are you going to like practice some self-care? Like, come up with a plan.
Exactly. Like, it's like not just venting about how much you hate them, but at the end, if there's at least a gentle intention afterward to learn from it, then we can kind of see where, oh geez, maybe I was being a little impatient, or this doesn't quite work when I try to engage with them this way. It's that expressive writing just tends to be a little bit more healing if we vent, as well as keep that intention in mind that, like, hey, the whole reason we're doing this is to better process and understand and learn from uncomfortable, even traumatic, like, experiences.
Cool. Yeah.
I dig it. So this is my science part. I'm keeping it short. I'm keeping it short.
My favorite time of day.
Get ready, kids. So I'm keeping it short and sweet and as interesting as I think I can. So there was a literature review published in the American Journal of Public Health. And basically a literature review is just a gathering of a lot of existing studies that are already out there. And
I'm very appreciative of you explaining that, because I was just like, oh yeah, no, a literature review.
Yeah.
No idea what that is.
A literature review is just, it's gathering and kind of putting all this existing data and existing studies in one place. And the whole idea of this literature review was to examine all the evidence out there about the connection between art, healing, and health. And, you know, kind of a subgroup of this paper was all about expressive writing. You know, it had, I think, you know, there was different kind of arts and like expression through movement. And but a part of this was just looking at the evidence for expressive writing. And here's what the literature review found. And keep in mind, this is from a lot of different sources, just all kind of gathered and put into the same place. So
okay.
Expressive writing can improve control over pain severity and depressed mood for people experiencing chronic pain. That was one study. Yeah, that was one study. Another one was that expressive writing via journaling. Again, we kind of talked about several different forms of expressive writing. There's the way you blog, there's poetry, there's the journaling. This particular study found that expressive writing via journaling helped participants identify and work through feelings, improve relationships, and learn new things about themselves. So again, that kind of just speaks to what we were talking about earlier, how expressive writing can really just help us kind of process tough or challenging situations and learn from them and feel a little bit more resilient in the face of them.
I just believe it. I do.
Whatever the study says, who cares? It's like whatever you see for yourself or what I see for myself.
Just, I guess just try it. You know, even if you're like a big tough guy, like just get a piece of paper and be like, blah, like here's what's in my brain and here's where I would like to be. Even if you can't think, even if it at the end, it's not like big hearts and rainbows, like, and I'm better. Even
no,
if at
it's
the end, just go.
That's okay.
Like some big
it's not.
Steel. I'm like picturing like a 1940s steel worker in Manhattan, like with a like Lisa Frank.
Lisa Frank.
Notebook.
I was just gonna say Lisa Frank notebook,
like bubble stickers or something.
Oh
which,
God, I love
cool,
Lisa Frank.
Do it. Like I don't want to stereotype here, but let's be honest. I think get it out in whatever way. Get it out of your head. Then from there, like, even if your intention is like, I hope to have an intention, you know,
yeah,
like,
if
it's something there, so it doesn't have to be like, and I want to love everybody.
No.
Even if it's like, I just want to be a little less reactive here or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, no.
All I can say is that nowadays, like, I think starting this writing up again for me, I stopped writing after that, the diary incident of whatever year, 1998. And then I didn't pick it up again until you bullied me into it. That's not true, but sort of.
But sort of. Right.
When I'm having a particularly tough day or week, I notice it in my body. Like my neck is stiff, you know, my chest is tight, like all the things we've talked about. And if I just, even if it's in my phone, if I write a note to myself,
yeah,
like, here's what's in my brain, like, and I'm so frustrated, I can feel it, like, very quickly and literally feel it, like, ebb away.
Ebbing, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's the word I'm looking for, right? Because.
Yeah. I think so. But I'm not really, like, the language expert, so don't.
Well, I'm not. You're looking at the wrong writer, babe.
Not a great language expert here. But I do like that you said, hey, this can kind of be for everybody, because the next study specifically looked at men with expressive writing. So
This will be really interesting. I want to hear this.
Yeah.
So shut up.
Yeah, okay.
Erica.
So this study looked at male survivors of childhood sexual abuse, and they found that these survivors were more resilient post-trauma when they used expressive writing to make meaning from their experiences. So again, that's kind of the whole point, is whether it's expressive writing or another art form, the benefit that it brings is it can often shift these really hard, traumatic, awful things that nobody should ever have to go through. It helps us kind of find a silver lining. So a lot of these male survivors ended up, their meaning, their finding meaning in this horrible experience was realizing their kind of calling to support others who had similar traumatic experiences. So
that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Did you read the book? Oh my God. Man's Search for Meaning, actually, is the name of it.
No.
Viktor Frankl, I believe.
No.
He was a psychologist. You know, I get those backwards. Psychiatrist, psychologist.
One of those.
He was one of those. And I think it was one of those.
Someone fancy.
And was a Holocaust survivor. And in the book, he talks about even during this, like, you know, objectively terrible experience.
Yeah.
How the men he was with, or, you know, was around, found meaning, and the people that engaged in helping other people, and for him, writing down his experiences, even if it was on scraps of like clothing,
yeah,
writing down notes, like getting it out of him to it with the intent of helping someone else navigate tough things.
It makes it not in vain. It kind of shifts it.
Yeah.
It shifts this focus from being really reactive and suffering to having like a little bit of space, you know, and it allows us to kind of, again, something that's so horrible that should never happen to another human being. Yeah. It allows some kind of meaning that it wasn't in vain. And so that's kind of the point with expressive writing, with however big or small a challenge is, it's to help us find some sort of lesson or meaning, because if it feels like this horrible thing or little horrible thing wasn't in complete vain, it's a lot easier to kind of stop spinning our wheels and stay stuck in it. And
very much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because things can feel very hopeless and very,
very
personal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why did this happen to me?
Yep.
And sometimes we need to step outside of that. I think you and I, although we have different sort of paths with what, how we help people, I think we both have the same perspective of the crap we went through.
Yeah.
Obviously, well, I guess I can't speak for you, but no way similar to, you know, childhood sexual abuse or the Holocaust, obviously, but
right.
In our own worlds, you know, that kind of trauma. And I think we've used our experiences to hopefully, I think, help one or two people.
The one or two people out there. No, it's actually really wonderful. We get, I try to remember to send you the emails, Erica.
I didn't mean to.
But just in our personal lives, sure, professional.
No, but like with coaching for you, with writing for me, and you know, dueling, and definitely with the show, I think we're both really passionate about like using this as a form of expression. Look at us.
Look at us. High five.
Look at us. Me too. Air high five, girl.
Air high five.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, you encouraged me to say it nicer. You encouraged me like, hey, you're funny and you've got something to say. And I, you know, why don't you look into this writing thing? And it's given me a place to express my nonsense. And hopefully it gives a voice to other people that wouldn't be able to articulate it. And hopefully it inspires them to tell their story. And I think that we do that with the podcast too, you know, like,
yeah,
hey, we've had experiences. Here's our story. We would love you to, you know, share that with your friends and family.
Even like grief. I know for me, like just having a lot of losses and grief, like the podcast is a form of expression that helps me move through it and find some meaning, to have some takeaway, to not just be lost in the abyss that grief can feel like sometimes.
It can feel like abyss, can it?
Yep,
like it's
absolutely
not just grief, but any of these things can feel very much like you're floating in space. And you and I both have had episodes where we just didn't want to show up. Like we'll be on the phone like, ugh. And it, not that we don't want to do that, we love doing this, but we're human.
Hard
like,
day.
Sometimes
we're human.
It's like,
sometimes
this is a hard day.
This is a hard day.
And we're almost forced to express ourselves, and that's awesome. And I think,
and it's kind of cool because
it's helpful.
I always feel better afterward, even if there's reluctance and it's a tough day or just a tired day. It is kind of funny because it does shift. It just shifts the focus a little bit, or just the angle that I see that day. And it's, so it's, you know, it's funny. I think expression is pretty underrated, but as we're kind of chatting about, it has a lot of value. So my last study, this one was kind of one of the most interesting to me, like one of the most concrete studies that showed the the kind of benefits of expressive writing, it looked at HIV patients who engaged in expressive writing, and those that did saw a drop in their viral load immediately. So viral load is just like how active the virus is. So after engaging in expressive writing, those that did, really, it was almost immediately that they saw a drop in how active the virus was.
I get it. I didn't know that, but I believe it wholeheartedly. I mean, obviously I have to, it's a study, but I mean, think about elderly people that aren't there all these things now, like elderly people in nursing homes, if they sit in color with kids and just tell their story, that their little vitals or whatever go up or whatever happens.
And cognitive functioning and memory. And
Just telling your story in whatever way works
makes sense for you. And I'm sure we'll do other episodes. This one just happens to be expressive writing because I've been doing it, so it's my selfish topic.
I
like it, so I wanted to talk about it.
I've been doing this thing. We're going to talk about it now.
We're doing this. So I
like that. Yeah.
I just wanted to share. So if this is kind of resonating with people and they want to give this expressive writing a try, I came across like a couple of tips that, you know, I found helpful for me and that, and other people have found helpful. So the first one is like finding some time and space, alone time, and being able to commit like, you know, 15 minutes if you can, and writing about something significant and personal to you. Again, it's not like I had French fries today and it's sunny and, you know, it's not like a reiteration of just the steps you took that day. It's writing.
Well, let me just say this though. If that's what gets you to then write about something personal, talk about the French fries.
I think you're right. Sometimes you just got to start somewhere. This is
stupid. Here's what happened today. You just keep going. And then by the time you get three sentences in and you're like, oh my God. Yeah. And I set this guy's car on fire, you know?
Yeah.
It's autobiographical. Anyway.
But yeah, exactly. Like it's so much better to just start somewhere, especially if this is new and weird and awkward. So, but ultimately if you can kind of write about something that's significant, personal to you, it can be a challenge. It doesn't have to be, but it can be a challenge. And if you can include your feelings and emotions and whatever it is that's significant to you, whether it's a challenge or not, just kind of looking at how you're relating to it, how you're feeling about it, try not to analyze or judge what you're writing. You know, this is not the time to say,
that's
oh
a great
my
tip.
God, I hate Susie. Like, oh geez, I'm such a jerk. Is it okay that I wrote that? Should I not write that? Like it's just a time like you talked about earlier, just to let the stuff out. That's it.
Let it out.
We're just recording that stream of consciousness. Like just let it out. No, what's the word?
Unadulterated?
Is that the right one? I don't know if that's what I'm going for, but something like that.
We all understand.
Uncensored, you know what I mean. You guys know what I mean.
I think one thing to mention here, I don't want people to be horrified by my little story of somebody finding my journal when I was 15 or 14, whatever it was. People don't really do that in real life. And
and you can throw it away when you're done, right? Like you can kind of rip it up and shred it once you...
Oh my God, there's no reason to keep this kind of stuff to go back and reflect necessarily. Like many people write stuff down. They'll write a letter to somebody if they're really mad and then burn it. That is the best kind of catharsis, P.S. If you are
so always
so
better than
angry,
sending that letter.
Oof, well, that, amen. But if it's like, I just can't, I need to say something that's like real terrible, light it on fire, make a s'more.
Make
it, girl, but you don't necessarily have to keep this stuff. And these days in 2017, there are a kajillion free websites for online journals that you can very easily have nuclear code, firelock. So
I did not
you're
know
very
that.
Safe. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Or make yourself a WordPress or something that no one will ever find.
Okay.
Yeah. So don't, I think people should go into this like completely unabashed, go and
because you can type, you can handwrite. It doesn't matter. It's equally effective. So
sometimes it feels good to handwrite something.
I do love handwriting. I'm partial to handwriting. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like coloring. It's just the like what kinesthetic properties of it. Is that the word? We're not nailing it with words today.
Words are hard.
Words are hard. Oh. Anyway, all right, so tip three.
Yeah, so, and then the other thing is, like, once just, and again, it's kind of like you said, you don't have to, you could. You know, a couple minutes later in the day, whatever, it could even be a day later, after you've written, if you'd like to reread your writing and reflect, like, hey, did anything surprising or unexpected come up in my writing, or what new insights have I gained? That's an option. You don't have to use it in that way. Often the just the kind of art of writing, especially if you're doing it kind of consistently, there'll just be a natural progression of seeing things in a new way. Kind of like I found when I was writing about my heartbreak. I had no intentions. Ooh. It's just with each day, I kind of saw that the heartbreak got a little easier and I was learning a few more things and learned what not to do and what not to look for in the next partner.
And then there was Andy.
And then there was Andy.
Saint. I think.
And like you said, do whatever you want with it afterwards. You can keep it. You can have a nuclear code to it online. You can throw it away, burn it, whatever.
Yeah. Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. Go back and reflect. You will see things change, and it's definitely a practice. It's not something that you'll probably not something you'll do once and have like immediate relief. It's something I look at it sort of like part of my little meditation practice. I sit down,
it's a process.
I'm mindful about it. I get a pencil or a pen.
The studies all, you're exactly right. And a lot of the studies like kind of recommended or would say at least starting with committing to do it like 4 days in a row and see what you see, like just doing it kind of 4 days in a row and see what you see and notice if it's helpful. For some people, it might come really naturally and feel really naturally helpful. And for other people, if you're writing about, especially if you're writing about something that feels too heavy or emotionally charged, it's okay to put that on a back burner. You do not need to write about that that day. You know, if it's causing distress, like sometimes it's okay to just leave that for another day.
I don't think you're going to sit down and on the very first day tackle that thing that happened to you in the third grade.
The white whale. You got pantsed in the third grade.
Before I even started coaching with you, when I was really struggling with anxiety, I heard writing was very helpful. Journaling was helpful. It seemed very out there to me, even though I very much clearly enjoy writing now. I wasn't there two and a half years ago, whenever it was.
Right.
But what I could do was
I didn't
make
really
a bulleted
use it during anxiety, you know, like it wasn't something I utilized.
It was a recovery thing probably. Yeah. But what I couldn't necessarily write sentences like dear diary, but I could make a bulleted list of hour by hour, my day. So woke up at 5:30, my heart was racing, got in the shower at 6:30, you know, used Pantene Pro-V, for hair so healthy it shines. You know, but like lists. And then from there I could expand on, and this is how I felt when I had a panic attack at noon, you know, or I'm really frustrated. This really sucks. Or, I didn't have a panic attack today at noon. Really cool. You know, or, and then it evolved. So you don't necessarily have to write down your memoir.
No,
it could just
no
be
rules.
A couple lines.
You're right. It's like, there are literally no rules.
There's no rules. There's no crying in baseball. I couldn't think of what I was going to say. I was going to do a Fight Club thing and then I couldn't remember what I was going to say. The first rule in journaling is that there are no rules.
What is – that's going to drive me crazy now. Like, what's the rule?
The rule is that you don't – the first rule in Fight Club is that you don't talk about Fight Club.
You don't talk about Fight Club.
Or something.
Because I heard a funny like take on that about CrossFit. It was like, first rule in CrossFit, you always talk about CrossFit.
LOL.
No offense to CrossFitters out there at all. I've tried it. It's fun.
I think I'm going to do a free week.
Oh, good. Hell yeah. Free?
Hell yeah. Well, I just really hope it's a free week.
Yeah.
Is that not something I can just like show up and be like, do you have a free week? Because I'm going to try it.
Okay. You could probably ask for it for free. I don't know that it is.
We'll find out all together.
All right. That sounds good. So... okay. Anything else about expressive writing? I think we covered it.
Nope.
All right. That's our episode. Thanks so much for tuning in today. If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe and take a minute to write a review on iTunes so that we can reach and support more people. If you're looking for more resources like one-on-one coaching, courses, or have a question you'd like answered on the show, please visit notanotheranxietyshow.com. You can also get a free ebook there by subscribing to my newsletter. And until next time, remember, be kind to yourself.